And now, brothers and sisters, let us listen to God's word as it comes to us from the Gospel of John, a familiar text to many of us, chapter 11, verses 32 to 44. Listen to God's word. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. Jesus said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to Jesus, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if they believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upwards and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to those around, "Unbind him and let him go." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you and praise you that you are the God of life. We thank you and praise you that in Jesus you have called us to new life. Call us now. Open our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our minds to your word. To us in this place, that we may be nourished and strengthened to share your good news in this hurting world. May the words of my mouth and the meditation on all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our lectionary text for this morning drops us right in the middle of a family crisis. A brother has died suddenly, certainly before his time. And two sisters are left not only with their grief, but with an uncertain future. And the only one who could have helped, the only one who could have stopped this madness from happening, shows up too late to do any good. So the lectionary for today introduces us somewhat jarringly into the scene. We enter the story midstream, mid-conversation, in the middle of mourning, in the middle of a crowd, in the middle of a story that has already begun to take shape. But we don't need to go backward, do we? We know the scene. We have seen it on the evening news, and we have seen it in our own lives. A bullet or a fire claims the life of someone well before their time. The phone rings, and we receive word that an accident has happened. And just like the sisters of Lazarus, a laundry list of what-ifs and if-onlys run through our minds. And sometimes we even turn to God and say, "Where were you when all of this was going on? If you had only gotten here sooner, we all would have been okay." Our passage for this morning takes us right to the heart, right to the middle of human frailty. The scene we encounter includes all of the elements of human limitation, doesn't it? The pain of suffering, the weight of grief, the power of fear, the confusion of uncertainty. A sudden sickness has ended in death. Jesus' beloved friend has been laying in a tomb for 4 days, wrapped in cloths from head to toe. A family is changed. A community is changed. Life has stopped. Not just for Lazarus, but for everyone there. Even Jesus is moved to tears. But our passage for this morning also bears witness to the powerful reality that is at the heart of the gospel. For Jesus himself enters into the messiness of the scene. Jesus himself comes face to face with grief as he greets each sister and as he mourns with those who mourn. Jesus comes face to face with loss as he stands outside of the tomb that day. And Jesus comes face to face with death when he calls the onlookers to roll away the stone. But then Jesus takes it further. For the reality of death and of loss and of limitation has no hold on the Lord of life. At the passage to this tomb, Jesus calls upon the power of God and then calls Lazarus, referred to as the dead man in this passage. Jesus calls the dead man to new life. Defying death at the sound of Christ's voice, Lazarus emerges, still wrapped in his grave clothes. And then Jesus calls once more. He calls to the community around to participate in this life-giving ministry as he commands them, unbind him and set him free. Like a doctor who comes into the waiting room with good news and says, your loved one is okay. We managed to save him, and for now, he's going to be all right. Jesus breathes new life into his friend. At the sound of Jesus' voice, a man and a community are called to life. See, at the heart of our story for today, there is a message of vulnerability, isn't there? The story that we read today affirms our human experience, that sometimes life isn't fair, that sometimes good people get hurt, sometimes needs go unmet, friends don't show up in time, and sometimes someone we love dies. And we see a God who in Jesus embodies and experiences the breadth of this vulnerability. As a friend who weeps outside of Lazarus' tomb. And what's more, this story points to the breadth of the vulnerability that Jesus will face. For this story serves a purpose in John's gospel as the turning point upon which this whole story hinges. For this act of saving will lead to Jesus' arrest and to his own crucifixion and death not too long after. But see, our text for today also holds another truth. It holds before us the promise upon which the whole of the gospel hinges. For this text affirms what we come here to believing, that God is the God of life. This text affirms for us what is at the heart of our praise as a family of faith, that the Word through whom God spoke and created all that is speaks to us, calling us and all of creation to new life, to redemptive life, to resurrected life. See, God is a God of life. God is a God who calls us out of the tombs which hold us, out from under those things which hinder us or bind us, inviting us to step out into the light of day and live. God calls us to life, away from those things which destroy us or kill us, addictions and greed, cruelty and oppression, lies and deception, racism and sexism, war and poverty, fear and hate. God calls us to a new way, to that which heals, restores, forgives, hopes, believes, nurtures, and loves. And just as Christ called to the onlookers that day, Christ calls us to participate in Christ's life-giving ministry. The call issued at the close of this passage is not just a call to the mourners, but a call to us. Unbind him, Jesus says. Help your brother live again. Help him shed that which is holding him back. Untie the knots that have him all tangled up. Free him that he might have life. And so we are called too, to unbind our brothers and sisters from the chains that entrap them, to free them from the bonds of oppression, the bonds of the grudges we hold, the bonds of the identities we impose upon them, the bonds of the lies we tell. God calls us too, to free our brothers and sisters, to be the men, the women, the boys and the girls that God has created them and is calling them to be, so that all of God's children might live. But there is more good news in this story, isn't there? There is more good news, for the joy at the heart of this story is the truth to which it points. The truth that is our cause for hope today as we gather as a family of faith. The story before us today serves as a sign to us of Christ's ultimate victory over death. And we see that in Christ, by enduring death, God in Christ is raised to new life. Not merely resuscitated more of the same life, but resurrected life. See, the irony in this passage is that Lazarus will die another day, won't he? The miracle about which we read would not last forever, at least not in this world. There's another day when Lazarus will grow sick, or old, or tired. There is another day when Lazarus will be laid in a tomb again. But just as this story points to the resurrected Christ, we can have hope. For the resurrected Christ is indeed a new creation. In his dying and rising, a gateway to eternal life has been opened up. Christ's risen body is one that would never die again. Lazarus emerges from the tomb, still wrapped in the cloths that bind him. But as we turn to the end of our gospel, we see that when the stone is rolled away on Easter morning, Jesus leaves his grave clothes behind. Lazarus will need them again, but our risen Lord has no need for them any longer, for death has no hold on him anymore. And in our baptism, we celebrate that through Christ, we too are extended the promise of eternal life, of new life in him over whom the grave had no hold. Today we celebrate All Saints' Day. We gather as a community and remember the faithful departed who have gone before us. We think of those like Mary, the mother of Jesus, and of Mother Teresa, of Stephen and Andrew and Peter and Paul, of Priscilla and Joan of Arc, of Martin Luther and of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I bet as we sit here, we remember the saints who tucked us in at night with a kiss on the forehead and a prayer. We remember those with whom we sat around a table and held hands and said a blessing over a meal. We remember those who read us the story of Christ's birth on Christmas Eve. Those who comforted us when we had teeth pulled or mourned the loss of a pet. Who watched our children or brought us a meal when we were sick. Those who listened to our problems and helped us find solutions. And in doing all these things, showed us the love of God. And today we remember those from this family of faith. Those who have read scripture before us. Those who have taught Sunday school and served on committees. Those who have shaken our hands at the sharing of God's peace. Those who have volunteered in the front office. Or whose voices we remember as they sung hymns by our side here in this place. We remember those who have struggled, those who have tried just like us to do their very best to give all that they have to God so that God would know their hearts and so that others would know God's love through them. And honestly, many of us might be grieving today. Many of our eyes might have filled as we heard the names of loved ones read just moments ago. But we are here today because we have hope. Hope that we will be reunited with all these saints that we have known when we meet again in glory in the life that is to come. And as we gather in moments at this communion table together, we celebrate that we are united with all of the saints of past, of present, and of future in all times and in all places as we await the banquet we will share together in heaven one day. But even as we do all this remembering, brothers and sisters, remember this. You too are saints. You don't have to look to the past to see those who bear witness to God's love. You don't have to read stories or call upon memories to see the faces of those who point us to the hope we have in Jesus Christ or to the love that is felt when a brother or sister reaches out to one in need. You just have to look within and look around. I invite you to do this as we come forward for communion together, to look around at the communion of saints who sit here, with whom we worship and with whom we share a meal together. You, beloved, are children of God. You were called to life by the God who created you. You were claimed by God in your baptism. You were redeemed by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And you are sustained by the power of God's Spirit living within you. In life and in death, we belong to God, a God who has called us here, a God who calls us to life. And a God who calls us to participate in the life-giving ministry of Jesus Christ here in this place and as we go forth into the world. are God's people, God's saints here on earth, vessels of God's Spirit and instruments of God's love. Barbara Brown Taylor writes this. It's on the top of your bulletin if you'd like to read along. The reality is that all of us who are baptized are already saints, have already been given our halos, because all it takes to be a saint is to belong to God. You have your identity, your halo, and a choice to live as who you are or not. Brothers and sisters, saints of God, hear the good news of this gospel. Hear the good news that the God of life has called us here, that the God of life infuses us with hope, and the God of life equips us to go forth and share the good news of Christ's radical love for all of creation. Brothers and sisters, we have a choice. We have a choice about how we can respond to Christ's call. You have your identity, your halo, and a choice. Let us answer Christ's call. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us stand together and profess our faith using the words that are in your bulletin, which are taken from the brief statement of faith. In life and in death, we belong to God. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, we trust in the one triune God, the Holy One of Israel, whom alone we worship and serve. We trust in Jesus Christ, fully human, fully God. Jesus proclaimed the reign of God, preaching good news to the poor and release to the captive, teaching by word and deed, blessing the children, healing the sick, binding up the brokenhearted, eating with outcasts, forgiving sinners, and calling all to repent and believe the gospel. Unjustly condemned for blasphemy and sedition, Jesus was crucified, suffering the depths of human pain and giving his life for the sins of the world. God raised this Jesus from the dead, vindicating his sinless life, breaking the power of sin and evil, delivering us from death to life eternal. We trust in God, whom Jesus called Abba, Father. In sovereign love, God created the world good and makes everyone equally in God's image, male and female, of every race and people, to live as one community. In gratitude to God, empowered by the Spirit, we strive to serve Christ in our daily tasks and to live holy and joyful lives, even as we watch for God's new heaven and new earth, praying, "Come, Lord Jesus." With believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.